If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
I guess so.
That's that me espresso. Alice at 97.3.
Good vibes and variety. And Outside Lands tickets. Pick your day to Outside Lands all this week on the fives. Every hour from 7.05. Little less than an hour from now till 5:05 in the afternoon with Janie. We've got code words. You text them to our contest line 20357 and you're in the running for a pair of one day. Pick your day tickets for Outside Lands. Doja Cat on Friday. Will it be Gracie Abrams on Saturday or Hozier on Sunday? And there are so many more bands playing. Like, you have to look at the whole lineup for each day. You wander all around the park, all these different stages, all these different things happening. It's August 8th through the 10th in Golden Gate Park, courtesy of Another Planet Entertainment. All right. Run your intro, girl.
Oh, I forgot about my intro.
Oh, really? But it's your segment. It's time for Bob's Movie Club.
I know, but
everybody.
I was so ready with my hot takes.
Oh.
I love movies.
Bob's Movie Club. We got some movies for you. Bob's Movie Club. Bob's Movie Club.
Movies are great.
Some movies are great. Okay, get us going.
Today's movie is Time After Time, directed by Nicholas Meyer from 1979. This movie, I was in such a bad mood when I started watching this movie because I'd been working on stuff all day. Mm. I was really tired. I didn't eat dinner. I was so grumpy.
Still knew that you had to watch this movie. It was
7:30 p.m. And I was, yeah.
This is your movie club and you waited until an hour after bedtime?
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I felt going into it. And was this the best movie I've ever seen? No. But when the movie was over, Susan and I were laughing. We were in such a good mood. We had such a fun time. Like,
it's a movie about Jack the Ripper, everyone. Yes. Just so you know.
Just so you know, Jack the Ripper.
The Ripper.
Yeah. But we were cracking up at the special effects and how ridiculous, like how crazy the main characters were acting acting. So basically what happens is H.G. Wells, famous science fiction writer, he has his famous dinner party where he tells his friends about his time machine invention. And one of his friends is actually Jack the Ripper, who terrorized women in London in 1888. They fudge the timeline a little bit. This takes place in 1893 or 1883, something like that. And so one of his friends is actually secretly Jack the Ripper and steals the time machine to get away and ends up in San Francisco, 1979, which H.G. Wells thought would be this beautiful utopia because three generations from now, we will have free love and equality and blah, 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 blah. And of course, it's, you know, the 70s. It's cool, but it's crazy. And lots of world events are going on.
And there have been world wars.
Yes.
And yes. Many wars. And he's like, what? There was war in the future?
World War II?
Right. He says World War III at one point. She's like, Vietnam.
Vietnam. He's Vietnam. What's Israel? Anyway, so he has to follow him into 1979 to try and get him. But this guy's a lot quicker than him, and he falls right into his trap. But luckily, he meets a lovely lady who is so hot for his mustache that she will do anything that he wants, including believe that he's a time traveler, even though all he does is show her a newspaper from 3 days from now, which could have easily been faked, but whatever. I think my favorite part of this movie was how ridiculous that woman was.
Yes. The woman in question is Mary Steenburgen. So very young Mary Steenburgen plays this role of horniest bank teller of all time. Like the level of ridiculous from this weirdo from the past sitting down at her desk and her being like, here's my number. And weirdest accent, too. Like, I'm like, what is she trying?
Was it a little New York?
Yes. Like a little
bit. It was awful. But
I didn't understand. I'm like, what exactly is she? She's like almost like Southern New York. Very strange. Like just the weirdest. I don't know what she was going for. But the fact that she was like, you know, a horny girl in 1979 and was like, come to my place. I'm going to seduce you. And then now we're partners in crime.
And that when she gets into her apartment, her friend calls on the phone, her fellow bank teller friend, Carol, who we'll get to. And she's like asking her on the phone, oh, like, how's it going? And she's like, the guy's standing right in the kitchen. She's like, I'm working on it. Like, let me cook. And like hangs up. It's hilarious.
Yeah. There's a lot of really, really dumb stuff. You know what? You're actually right. I've been thinking about this movie since I watched it over the weekend or Monday or whenever I watched it. And it is hilarious. Hilariously bad. Hilariously ridiculous.
But it kept me engaged the whole time. Like, I wanted to watch where these cuckoo banana people went with the story and how ridiculous Amy would, like, what she would fall for and what she would
Amy
go
was
with.
The Mary Steenburgen character. It was actually really fun to see her.
She was a cutie.
She was cute. Right. My biggest problem with this movie was that they had access to the time machine the whole time. So what I really did feel like, listen, set it for the day before he murders the person in London.
Literally.
And then go and alert the police and say, I know who Jack the Ripper is. Please meet me at this place because he's going to murder a hooker. By the way, worst hooker ever. Like the least sexy hooker, the one at the very beginning.
Oh, when he was still in 1883?
Yes, yeah. Like, I guess the 1800s hookers, they just weren't as hot as today's hookers. I mean.
And she's English, so, you know, the teeth.
Right. There was that. There was a lot going on there.
But in that first opening scene when Jack the Ripper murders his first victim, they literally make a ripping sound, which I actually don't know that much about Jack the Ripper, just that I don't think they were ever caught.
Yeah.
But they literally make this sound. It's like.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to be? A chainsaw? Like, what is he ripping?
Is he ripping like her petticoats?
Everywhere during this ripping.
I know. But he gets like one drop on his face as he kills people. Like, okay.
Susan and I were really hoping that sound effect would be happen for every murder, but just the one. Dang.
Also, at least take the time travel machine back to save the bank teller friend. Like, just go back a couple days. Let's just quickly wrap up all the loose ends. I really did feel like,
no,
wow,
they just get the heck out of there.
They're so selfish.
Like, you know what? This isn't our problem anymore.
All right, Vinny, you've been strangely silent. You must have thoughts.
I'm into it. I'm listening to you. I agree with a lot of the stuff that you guys had said. So, look, this movie, when I hit play on it, I found it. I realized that I am so spoiled by modern filmmaking. And so we can sit here. Now, I think this is a good exercise for anyone who sees films and loves film. There's so many flaws in this picture. It just in the story where you're just like, wait a minute. And, I mean, you already said it. Like, why didn't you just do this? Why? If you can just leave all that.
Suspend disbelief.
Just leave all that. I'm going to tell you some of the things I really loved about this movie.
Okay.
This movie is in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
It is here.
Oh, yeah.
At the city streets, the buildings, the woods, the trees. They're all over this area in that era.
Yep.
You're seeing it for real.
1979 San Francisco, captured.
Absolutely loved that.
Me too.
I couldn't get enough of it, and they kept giving us more.
Mm.
There they are on the marina. Like, I just shot after shot. Is clearly right here
and what
at that time.
About the rotating restaurant?
So that was one of the questions I had, and I hope that someone.
Right. Can
I don't
someone weigh in on
I
that?
I used to go out when Christina and I were first dating. We went out in the city all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Regularly.
Roam around.
We roamed all the time. It was what we did. I don't believe that still exists. I don't know of it, but there was a restaurant in the film that is a spinning top, I guess, on top of a building. I don't know if it's still around,
it's
shocked.
Somewhere close to the bay, like maybe downtown somewhere.
Yeah, I think it was the Bay Bridge in the background.
Yes, it was the Bay Bridge.
So it was very downtown. Like,
so is that still there? And if not, what the hell was it? Because that looks, let's go to lunch there, you guys. That looked really fun.
It can't still be here. We would know about it.
We would definitely know about it.
I also loved, and I've done this with books as well. So first, love all the city shots. I couldn't get enough of it.
It's really cool.
Especially compared to when we watched Pacific Heights, which is one that I picked because it took place in San Francisco, and they didn't show anything. Just the establishing shot of the house. Nothing else was filmed here.
Yeah.
This movie was beautifully showing San Francisco.
They did it here.
Yeah.
It's like, there's Justin Herman Plaza. There's, like, all the way through the movie.
Right. The distinctive floor of the Embarcadero Center. It's incredible.
I loved that blue Honda Civic.
Mm.
I was like, oh my gosh, that is right out of, that was the most popular car for ever.
Right.
That car. Most of the ones that of the kids that I knew as I was growing up, they were old, like they were old by then. That one was brand new.
Yeah.
But they were tan.
That's one. A solid color.
But Amy's a cutie. She had the little blue one.
Yeah, she did have the blue. I loved all the city cars. So as she's driving around in this little compact, most of them are 70s boats.
Like sedans, right? Like, you
big
know,
old Oldsmobiles and Cadillacs and Buicks. Exactly. So there's another, like, looking at an old film and just seeing that time as they're driving through the streets of San Francisco. Like, awesome. Okay. I love that they were on landlines. I love that he went to a phone booth and had a dime, not a quarter.
Yeah. Olden days.
A dime. So some of the stuff in the movie, I just took it off the screen as it for what it was. That's a blue Honda Civic. That's a Mickey Mouse landline that they pick up. And he's holding it out going, hello, hello. Like, oh,
yeah,
geez.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to.
Even though he saw her use it, and he's supposed to be one of the smartest men of history, but okay. There's a lot of things he does that are very dumb.
Well, he's playing that, you know, I mean, I don't know. There were definitely a lot of holes in the storyline. Yeah. But so all I want to say is I didn't love it. I didn't, but I loved the city shots. Time travel's cool. In this case, you're right. They should have bounced around a little more and done some cool stuff with it.
Because who could get enough of those special effects?
And I told you guys right away when I first saw this was last week, I think. The special effects appear to be a guy with a rainbow, like cellophane, and a flashlight.
Mm.
Yep.
There's your effect.
It's so good. It's just such early days of that stuff. I mean, Star Wars was already out, but even they were doing, like, you remember when you first saw Star Wars? And you could almost see the little box that was around the spaceship that they were moving through.
I never caught that on first watch, but sure.
Well, I don't know if you could see it in the movie theater. Maybe you couldn't. Maybe it wasn't until we got them on videotape. But it was of a time. Yes, there were some holes. But yes, I've been thinking about it the rest of the week and you know, couldn't wait to hear what you guys had to say about
what I like about looking at old films. So I don't think it's a bad idea to go back because certainly
the movie's time after time.
I remembered liking this movie and then upon rewatch thinking, what was I like?
Do I just have no taste in movies? Or
but then that was closer to that time and all this old stuff doesn't stand out the same when you're in that.
Right. It's almost 50 years old, that movie.
Yeah.
People are saying that the rotating restaurant has just reopened after being closed for 17 years, and it's above the Hyatt, which is the hotel that the Ripper stays at.
Yes.
We got to go.
We got to go. Find the address.
The spinning restaurant's called the Equinox.
Oh, the Equinox. Well.
Nah, I don't. Mm.
Speaking of the 70s, I really loved how much Jack the Ripper, as soon as he got there, he fell right into the culture with some sick outfits.
Yeah.
Especially one Big near Daddy. The end of the movie when he's wearing denim pants and a denim vest and his gold pocket watch that plays They never explain what that song is. It must be something related to his mom, but hanging out of his pocket. He looked kind of cool.
Yeah. So is that David Warner?
It is.
Because he is a recognizable guy who continued to have a career.
Yes, 100%. I was trying to figure out what I knew him from, and I think it was from a role he had in Titanic. Because I was looking at his IMDb, trying to, I'm like, I know this guy.
I mean, he's already like, it looks like he's in his 40s. In 1979. So I think we only know him in modern day as kind of an older dude.
Supposedly he was supposed to be 37. But I was okay, sure.
Yeah. Well, people did it. You know, 50 wasn't what back then what 50 is now. Or so I'm told. Once you hit 50, people start telling you that.
You know, actually, now that I think about it, I didn't see nearly as many smokers in that film as you usually would for a film from that era.
That's true.
I think the cop lights a grit at one point when he's got HG in the room and he's grilling him. You're not leaving here till we get the truth. But normally you'd see a lot of ciggies.
I wonder if California was just cutting edge of we're getting rid of these cigarettes.
Oh. Sounds like something we'd do here.
Yeah, doesn't it?
All right, I got a little trivia for you. Okay. Not a ton. So the daughter of the director is Nicholas Meyer is the director. His daughter, Dylan Meyer, is married to Kristen Stewart.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Get out of here.
They just got married. Funny. Remember we got those strange overview shots from their wedding.
That's really funny.
So that's fun.
That is fun.
This movie inspired the song by Cyndi Lauper from 1983, but not because she saw the movie, but because she was scrolling through, or not scrolling, I guess, flipping through a TV guide looking for like, oh, what are some movie names that might make a good song title?
Oh my God. Time after time. It's funny because, you know, the evil genius, Edwin Koo, who does a lot of like, Photoshop stuff for us.
Art.
Photoshop.
He's
art.
Our art
He's
guy.
An artist. He and I had a whole long conversation about how Cyndi Lauper's song, you know, came out 5 years later or whatever. And it was just so funny because I have been humming time after time because of the movie and because of the Cyndi Lauper song all week. That's so funny.
Yeah. Total blast.
Yeah. Do you want to give it a rating?
What do we do, out of 5 or out of 10?
Let's do it out of 5.
You know, I really enjoyed myself. So I'm going to give
it for points.
Yes, I'm going to. And it was so fun and it was so beautiful. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a little high.
That's high. I'm going to give it a 2.5 because I'm very much on the fence as to whether I liked it or not. I feel like I'm just teetering.
Well,
but I've enjoyed this.
It's clear that you walked away from it not liking it.
Yes.
But then I
spent all week thinking about it.
That's the thing about art. If it gets inside you and you are still thinking about it later, then something is there.
I'm going to give it a 50% mark.
I will say, as far as time travel movies go, this would rank very low on the list. Nothing against H.G. Wells, but the mechanics of the time travel, I don't need them to be super scientific, but this made absolutely no sense. Like having two magical keys for the machine, I was like, which key does what again? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Right there at the end, when the end, like we're talking about the very end, when he pulls the key out and now he's gone to infinity. We're done here. I'm like, all of that. And that's all it took. You foiled the worst criminal.
And he agreed to it. He nodded. Send me off into the void.
There were a lot
void.
Of convenient things that where the plot was rolling and then they just had to figure out, they just fudged it.
Yeah.
Including why did the time machine move from London to San Francisco? It's almost like the time machine doesn't actually travel. You just, it's exists across time, and then if you get in the time machine, you can travel to another point where the time machine is, because he travels to where the time machine's being displayed in a museum.
Yes.
This is Time After Time, by the way, if you're just joining us. And the time machine actually disappears.
You actually just made a good point about it being, because it was being displayed there, that's where he wound up, I guess.
Right.
He just picked a time in the future randomly.
But when you travel in the time machine, it leaves. It literally vanishes. And it only comes back if you don't have magic key number 1.
So how did H.G. Wells follow him to... Okay, let's not.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of holes in the story. Right. That's my point.
Were there two time machines? Make.
So you really just got to enjoy it for the scenes. Mm-hmm. For some of the, like,
and for the silliness.
I enjoyed it for the silliness.
And look, and the horniness. I do think someone in there was trying to write a strong female character. They missed wildly.
Yeah.
Like...
You know what?
She's talking about women's lib. She's saying, I am a career person. I didn't want to marry.
I'm a career person.
And so you kind of go, okay, they're on the right track. This is, but the whole weird horniness.
Yeah.
And the, I'm going to bag me a man thing.
I think
thing
it was like
was
a
weird.
Free, it was like trying to capture like the free love of the day and, you know, just like a sexual liberation as well as a
yes,
women's
100%.
Lib.
They leaned really hard into that. And it's not too dissimilar from female characters that would get written today that are a little absurd. Like, she reminded me of the character in Lena Dunham's new show, Too Much, which I don't know if you guys have watched.
I haven't watched
that,
yet.
That one yet.
It's on Netflix. Mm. The main female character is ridiculous, and she kind of reminded me of that.
Mm. Is that the... Never mind. I'm not going to ask this question now.
That was Bob's Movie Club, baby.
Bob's Movie Club. You know what? Redeemed, because I really did feel like, Jesus, someone else has to pick the movies. But now I see that there's what we should do next. Just a suggestion. You know what you should do? Pick a time travel movie that you think is like the best one because you love this genre. I would like to see one that you are like, if this is the worst, show me the best. Think on that while we're on vacation. The end. I don't even have to do that. What's coming up in the news, Vin?
For $1 million after these.
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It's Thursday. Check out the Alice 973 Instagram for video reels and pics from the Sarah and Vinny morning show daily. Right now in our story is our attempt at some kind of TikTok trend that Bob put together. Good job on that.
It's not just an attempt. It's, you guys did great.
I loved your captioning. That was really,
thank
it
you.
Was very cute. Very, very good job. But it will disappear soon. So go check it out on the Alice 973 Instagram. There's also links there to all our personal profiles.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by the San Francisco Zoo.
Oh.
San Francisco Zoo's Sunset Fridays are an event for the whole family. Live music, outdoor bars, kid-friendly activities, ambassador animals, and more.
Sounds great.
Visit Fridays from 5 to 7 p.m. And for tickets, visit sfzoo.org. Good morning, everyone.
Hello, Vinny.
Appreciate you being here on this fine Thursday morning.
Oh, I appreciate you, too.
I was talking to all our friends.
Oh, got it. Sure.
You're always
just
here,
that when you have those googly eyes looking at me, I'm like, oh, he appreciates me. That's fantastic.
Oh, get out of here. Morning cloud, sun later. The high in the Bay Area today will be 80. Hello,
oh,
Napa.
Boy, that's nice.
It's mild and delightful.
It is.
And let's all not get caught saying what we shouldn't say.
That's right. You don't
want to
jinx
it. Don't be a jinxer.
It. It's pretty good. Pretty good weather lately.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty
sure
good.
Bob, I bring you on to the airwaves real fast since you're the newest member of the show and also you're not known to be a complete codependent. So here's a situation where you may have some different thought than, I can't live without John, so I have to keep him.
Mm.
A new poll asked people, would you leave your partner for $1 million? $1 million, cold cash, under the table, no taxes. Here's $1 million. Would you say, Susan, it's been real, but there's other wieners out in the world. I'm moving on.
You'll be fine. You'll find happiness.
Yes, you'll be good.
I understand that $1 million is a life-changing amount of money, but it's simply not enough.
Okay, how much will it cost for you to ditch Susan? How about $100 million.
That's more tempting.
Okay.
Can we still be friends?
I think that you could. I think that he might say, I can't be friends with you. Like, I do think there are people who are, if you are fully in love with someone, unless something bad's happened, and certainly it's bad that you said I'll take the 100 mil over him.
I didn't say I would. And I'm just saying, think about
you
it.
Did. You did tell no, me that. Woman. Sorry, Susan.
But I definitely think that it for him, it might be, I love you. I can't just be bros. We're not bros.
Well, could you secretly be, could you no. not be married? Because that's my question. It's like, for $1 million, absolutely not. It's not even a question. You don't even think about it. Now we talk $1 billion. It's like, listen, John, we'll get a divorce.
No.
And we'll just, everything will stay exactly as it is.
No, you don't get
to
do that.
And we'll have $1 billion.
No, that's not how it works. How it works is the first time you call him in the middle of the night, the money goes.
The money poops. No, I couldn't do it. You're right. I am codependent. Although, I'll be super pissed if I turn down $1 billion and then he dies of a heart attack. I would be mad. You're like, just come back to life for 1 minute. I got to make a phone call real quick. Please don't leave me without my $1 billion.
A new poll asked people, would you leave your partner for $1 million? And 43% of Americans said, oh, yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, Vinny, let's turn it around on you. For, I don't think a million's enough. $100 million. Do you break up with Christina? Are you going to be able to provide for your kids for the rest of their lives? You can set her up.
There have been times in our relationship where we have been so deeply on the rocks, I didn't think we were coming out of this. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there have been times when you'd ask me that where I would say, yeah.
I'll pay her $1 million.
Yeah, for the peace of mind. Because, you know, that when yes. you're going through struggles, it affects you. Or maybe I should just say it affects me. Like, I'm trying to come in here and be light and fluffy and airy. Mm. And I'm feeling that like gray cloud over my head. So I would say, but right now with our kids at their age, I wouldn't do anything to disrupt what we've got going on. I just wouldn't.
Mm.
I wouldn't want to, for their sake too. Like, I've heard them talk about, I forget what brought it up, but they were like, saying to their mom when I walked into the room, you can never divorce Dad. We need him. And I was like, what? What? Why are you divorcing me? And she goes, I'm not. I don't even know why they just said that. And I was like, yeah, I do think that that's.
Did they have like, did you question further?
I just think that it was on the TV about a divorce or something. Mm. And then they were seeing the fallout from that and brought it up to their mom. But it is gnarly. Like, you remember the kids that came out of door? You had that happen. You were living in two different houses one week at a time.
Yep.
Brutal, right?
Brutal.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't think I would now, but I'm telling you, we've had times where it would be like, yep. The answer would be that fast. Mm-hmm. I would be like, yeah, this is torture. I'll take the money. I'll set the kids up for life and start over in Sweden.
Sweden.
Wherever. I'm not going to bump into my ex.
Oh, let's find someplace. To have the hottest women in Sweden.
I was thinking, why is he going to a place with no surf?
Oh, good point. Yeah, I'll start over in Tahiti, somewhere else.
Great.
Well, the thing about $100 million is, yeah, that's what I was thinking, is I could just travel the whole world. I could see it all. I could meet everybody. And that sounds really fun to me. That's probably if I had to stay here and take the $100 million? Absolutely not.
I'm really surprised by the number. 43% of Americans say they would leave their partner for $1 million.
At first, I was thinking maybe, okay, if you're going to leave your partner for $1 million, you should just leave your partner. But there are people who are in situations, like if you've got a debt that is just hanging over your head.
So many situations.
Gives you that chance to have a fresh start.
Yeah.
That I understand.
So many situations, whether it's the kids or the debt. Or like, that's a lot of people, and it's sad to think about, but there's the number. The people who would be like, if I could walk away clean and I didn't have to fight over the $2 we have, you know, in our shared account.
43%.
43%.
Would just walk for $1 million.
And you know, there's an absolute like reality of how you're growing apart as you are having kids and lives and job changes and all the things that are happening, and a health challenge comes up out of nowhere, just the reality of aging. So I can see that how there are a lot of people who are sort of on that, but $1 million feels light.
Yes. That's honestly in this day and age, like if you told me as a kid, you have $1 million, you'd be like, you could never spend it all. But that's like the new billion, you know?
Yeah.
Tech changed everything.
Yeah. You're not getting private jets with $1 million.
You're not even Delta One with that.
Right. You can't buy a house for that.
Not even close.
Not even a condo.
46% of people would enter a real-life version of Squid Game for a shot at $33 million, despite the game's 99.8% death rate.
What is the percentage again that would do this?
Almost half. 46% would enter a real-life version of Squid Game for a shot at $33 million. I think some of you need to go outside and watch a sunset. There's a lot of rad things about life besides money.
Or declare bankruptcy if you are like so under. Can you do that? Like if you're so underwater that you're pretty much guaranteeing you're gonna die for a chance at. Oh my goodness.
Think that because that's such a just a hypothetical that people are like, yeah, for 33 mil, I'd do it. I really think that half of people would not do that. I really want to believe that about people, that things are not so bad they're going to enter friggin' Squid Game.
Well, 33 million is a different number than one, but
it's still, it's not, don't do it. Please don't do it.
This is a little story about what you'd do for money. 41% would give up sex entirely for $1 million.
Oh, even done. I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't either.
And only because it would bum John out. I'd be like, here's your $1 million. Like, what am I going to do? Spend it on hookers? I mean, I'm not going to tell you where to spend it.
48% would embarrass themselves. These are Americans.
Okay.
48% would embarrass themselves on live TV for $1 million.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, I would totally do
done.
That. Like, how embarrassing are we talking
I do that
here?
For a living.
I was just going to say, I might just do that for views.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this. Here's the challenge. You have to stand naked on an empty stage. You're televised for 24 hours. You just have to stand there. You don't get to go
for
take
$1 million.
A break.
Can
for $1 million. Around? And you're on TV, so the channel that you're on is just on for the 24 hours. People can go there,
see you. If I have
to pee,
is the toilet on the stage?
You just got to go the 24 hours.
I'd do that for $1 million.
I would do it.
F it.
Absolutely.
Do I have like a month to
prepare?
No,
this is for embarrassment's sake. You're not.
Yeah.
This
is kind of fluffy right now.
Right. Most of us are walking around a little fluffier than we want to be. Hello.
The world's a little fluffy.
I might do that.
Yeah, I would do that.
That would be an interesting human experience.
It would. You'd get over it pretty fast. And people could only look for so long. They'd just be like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it is if you really get out of your own head with all that's available to people in the world,
right.
They tune into you and after half a minute,
yeah.
They'd go, all right, she's not doing anything. I got to go.
Yeah. Well, and we're also not Giselle or anything. You know, I think if Giselle, like people would watch that and she'd be like, $1 million isn't enough. You know, she needs more than that.
Of course.
But for us, I would do for $1 million, I would do that. Maybe.
We had a story earlier this week about wow skills that are really easy to learn.
Oh, yeah,
I think
yeah.
if you were on the stage just trying to learn wow skills for 24 hours, that would be some good content.
That could
naked.
Be.
Naked.
Oh, you
were
trying to learn
too?
How to juggle. Trying to learn how to, that would be funny. I would definitely do that for $1 million.
Yeah.
More so than I would just want to stand there.
I know, well, just standing there sounds awful.
It's a bad challenge. It's like Survivor. Like, can you just stay in one spot?
Mm.
I know, in their case, they're on little, you know, little teeny perches,
yeah.
barefoot.
But if you're just standing on a stage, like with a spotlight on you, please let's get the lighting right
good,
on this.
Yeah,
like,
Elizabeth
need good,
Hurley,
we need
bikini
Elizabeth
pick lighting.
Hurley bikini pick lighting. Thank you.
59% of people, Americans, would give up technology and live off the grid for $1 million.
I wouldn't.
15% said they would frame a friend for a crime they didn't commit for $1 million.
What level of crime?
God.
I would not do
like
that.
Like, is your friend going to jail for the rest of their lives?
You're framing a friend.
Absolutely no, of course not.
No. I wouldn't harm someone else. And it's funny that I would stand on a stage for 24 hours naked for $1 million, but I wouldn't give up technology. And that's because then you'd have to, someone would have to run your life for you because everything's online. And plus it's so fun.
A 40-year-old Florida man makes the news this morning.
Florida man.
That never happens.
Jeffrey LaForge was arrested last Friday after stealing a long list of adult toys from Walmart.
Oh.
As I read this story, the thing that stood out is Walmart stocks a long list of adult toys.
Do they have a special section?
I don't.
Is it back with the ammo and stuff?
I have shopped at Walmart. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't have one near me where I live right now.
Yeah.
So I can't say that I've been in one recently, but they've got good prices. And I've certainly been in a financial situation where I went there because they had my Chips Ahoy cookies at a price I could afford.
Mm.
You know, because I go through those like
Delicious.
Stupid monkey.
Get fluffy.
Well, I mean, fluffy, at the time I was running. Mm. I never stopped running. Mm. So it was fine. Now I can't do that kind of stuff. But back to my point, which is Walmart has a long list
of
adult toys. I have the list. A G-Spot thing, a pocket wand.
So is this all for his girlfriend or for him?
A tush toy. Some flavored puffy stuff. Lube.
Okay.
Flavored lube. Sorry, puffy, I should have just said.
Slippery stuff.
P. Diddy, you know, he got caught with that, didn't he?
Oh, Puffy, like Puff Daddy.
Yeah,
stuff.
Didn't he have all the stuff?
He did, yeah.
Dual massager, a mega massager, a vibrating, never mind, that's a massager as well, a bullet massager.
Mm-hmm,
This person stole almost $1,000 of adult toys from Walmart and one Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh, well, cost of the merch
was under $1,000 total, but he got an enhanced felony because he has prior theft convictions. But just for you, FYI, I just wanted to put it out there. Walmart.
That is the headline on this story.
Yeah.
The only Walmart I've ever been to is in Florida. It's near my parents' house. There just isn't one near me. I think there's a Walmart in the city, isn't there, somewhere?
No, not that I know
am
of.
Am I thinking of
there's
Costco?
There's a Target. And there's a Costco.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm
there's
thinking.
There's a Walmart in Watsonville or down that way where I've been to that one. And there's one
around.
In Palo Alto.
Oh, okay.
I've been to, might not be, you know,
I
that area
gets
me.
Some of them have more stuff than others, or I wonder if there is like a secret department where, you know, doesn't Walmart get a bad rep for selling guns and stuff too in some of their locations? They can sell guns and ammo. Why wouldn't they have a door, you know, intimate, friendly items? It's near the bra department.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. My husband of 34 years inherited a mill from his parents, and when he found out it was in a trust and protected from me, he couldn't get rid of me fast enough. We've been divorced for 7 years.
Wow.
Like on the spot, it sounds like.
So it's a trust that I guess that's a standard trust. If you remarry after somebody dies, the trust rules are in place. That's interesting.
You essentially asked everyone if they'd do OnlyFans for $1 million, and Sarah and Bob said yes. I don't think that's the same as OnlyFans. They need to do more than stand there.
Right. If I've got to like do stuff to myself or others, I'm not doing it. But if I'm just going to stand there, like people get sick of that fast enough. Like, oh, look, an old lady.
What if you have to tap dance? You have to go back into your memory banks from your old
tap dance for 24 hours?
What do you call it? Your ball and
heel? Kickball change.
Kickball change. Mm. Yeah, you got to go back to that day, the days of clickety shoes.
I don't know. It gets a little fuzzier when I have to start doing stuff. I just get to stand there. I like, you know, I'm okay in my own head. I'll think my thoughts. Try to get over my intense self-consciousness.
408 says, Vinny, for you, the issue would not be the nakedness, but it would be standing still.
No.
I have the same problem. I just can't stand in one place.
And that would be a tough one, Vin. You got to stay within one circle. Maybe you can pace the circle.
You can't imagine what living with me is like, but I am just.
And you got to not think sex thoughts then you'll be
excited. No, I would rather that than it be chilly in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't you think people would get sick of it faster if it was chilly in there? Just be like, all right. And then move on.
Yeah, I don't want them leaving with that, you know, image in their head.
Well, what do you care? You're married.
And I have $1 million too.
Uh-huh.
All right, fine.
It's freezing in here.
But your point is well taken, 408. I cannot sit still.
Yeah.
Ever. You need or to be stand able to move or around whatever. A little
bit. You could be tap dancing.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that would help me. Mm-hmm. Actually, movement would be, I gotta go. What's coming up in the trash?
Oh, guess who's having a baby?
Yeah.
Wake up, Bay Area.
This is amazing.
With Sarah and Vinny.
You stole the car and let that guy drive?
Alice at 97.3.